We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's Joe Madden with a very practical outlook on gambling and the legalization of sports gambling. And it's coming to a Major League Baseball stadium near you soon. Or is it, and how soon? Those are questions that we will ask our next guest in just a second. This segment brought to you by Burlington. Refresh your spring closet for less at your Burlington store. What's hot? Stripes, dots, and gingham, plus cool hardware like pearls, sequins, grommets, and much more. Burlington style for everyone. I'm very excited to talk to our next guest. He is an Illinois State Senator from the 34th Senate District. Steve Stottleman is also the chairman of the Gaming Committee in the state of Illinois. Senator, thank you very much for the time today. How are you doing?
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
So is it now a matter of when, not if, legal sports gambling comes to Illinois?
That would be my guess. There's a lot of work ahead. I want to make sure we get legislation right. But my guess is, if I'd had a bet, no pun intended, obviously, that probably over the course of the next year, there's a good chance we will see some type of sports betting legalized in the state of Illinois.
Where does it stand right now?
Well, you know, there were numerous bills that have been introduced this legislative session. We held a subject matter hearing on the issue in April. We had all the consultants, leagues, numerous stakeholders who are interested in the issue testify in front of the gaming committee. So we've taken some testimony. But now that we have the Supreme Court decision, my guess is that will accelerate the process of bills being finalized. Negotiations will proceed, and there'll be further discussions over the next few months as far as what it may look like. You know, it's a lot of models, a lot of variety as far as what sports betting could look like, and those issues have to be hashed out.
In your opinion, what is the best case scenario for the state of Illinois when it comes to the legalization of sports gambling?
You know, work over it over the summer, and maybe looking at some bills this fall, and maybe early next year when we see something finalized and we'll see votes on the floor of the House or Senate. Of course, in Springfield, you can never dictate what's going to happen. Things always come out by surprise. So it's always obviously estimated guess. But, you know, my guess is over the next year, we could see something passed legislatively. Now, how you logistically start operating sports betting and how long it takes to actually implement something, that's another question. Will that be, you know, more months down the road? And are we looking at another year or two out? I'm hoping not, but you know, legislatively something early next year and maybe operating later in the year, whenever that may be.
The chairman of the Gaming Committee, Illinois State Senator Steve Stottleman, is our guest. Yeah, I guess that's more what I'm interested in also, right? Like, what form will it take shape in? Is it going to be just at brick-and-mortar establishments like casinos and racetracks? Will you be able to bet online in the state of Illinois? Do you have any insight into what form sports gambling do you think will be legalized if and when it happens?
And that's a good question. I think those are the issues that have to be hashed out. So my guess is to be a combination of brick and mortars and online. I think you talk to the consultants, the experts in industry. Online is where the future's at. In fact, it's being used right now, obviously, with the legal books and the black market. Everything's going mobile. It's online. Everything wants to be, you know, everything's on your phone these days. And I think people, if this is going to be successful, in the state, you've got to offer an app and an online platform to capture most of the market. And from my, you talk to the experts, you know, 60% of the market will be online shortly if it isn't already. So that clearly is where the direction is heading when it comes to sports betting and any state effort to try to capture some of that market.
And do you anticipate this being the type of thing that we can see in stadiums? Like, will we be able to go into Soldier Field or Wrigley Field and place bets at the stadiums themselves?
Well, you look at Europe, which is much more of a mature market as far as people's attitudes towards sports betting and the venues that it's allowed. And I think you can do that. You can walk into the stadiums and place your bet. Even with what's called in-play game, you can vote on a certain activity happening in the game and place that immediately. I'm not so sure if this country and the state of Illinois would be ready for that type of gaming opportunity. So whether you can go up to Little League Field and place that bet, I think those in the industry want to eventually see that happen. As much as you can make it relevant to people who are watching the games in person or you know through the media, if they can place that bet right away and go to a game and make that bet at the venue, I think those who are operating would love to see that happen. It obviously would increase the market and make it a more attractive product. But you know whether that ends up in legislation in the state of Illinois, that's just a question remaining to be seen.
Steve Stottleman is our guest, Illinois State Senator and Chairman of the Gaming Committee. You mentioned, you know, Springfield and the political climate. Do we know where the governor stands on this exactly? Because I was looking at it, and it didn't seem to be that clear-cut.
No, I think your analysis is correct. He's been somewhat vague as far as when he's been asked the question during news conferences. He'll start off by saying he's not a gambler himself.
Which is not relevant.
And it makes some issue like it should be a local decision. I'm not sure how relevant that is. This will be a statewide issue. So you're right. I don't think we have a real clear if something comes across his desk when it comes to sports betting, whether he would sign at this point.
So I guess then I'm interested in, because I am a gambler, full disclosure, right? Admit your biases, right? So this is certainly a comfortable landing spot for you, the chairman of the gaming committee. But I fail to see downside for most entities involved here. So what types of opposition are you receiving or facing, and from whom is that opposition coming from?
Well, first of all, those who are opposed to any type of gaming expansion to begin with, they oppose people being allowed to do that for whatever reason. They just don't think that's something the state should be involved with and should be sanctioned. I guess the other opposition, too, you have opposition within the industry itself. Obviously, there have been attempts to pass casino expansion, fantasy sports, and it kind of causes an infighting among the players when they're trying to protect their turf or want a piece of the action. And so it kind of, there's a struggle within industry and here at the Capitol because you have different players who manage certain things, and it makes it very difficult to pass a bill politically, if that makes sense. So that's kind of a different side of the opposition. So, I mean, I think those forces are still in play. You're always gonna, people are going to be opposed to any type of gaming expansion for more reasons or just something that the state shouldn't be involved with. But then you also have the infighting among those in the industry who are trying to protect the turf and want a piece of the action. So they delay things or will keep things from being moved forward. But at the end of the day, I think the argument for sports betting, and it's happening anyway, there's an estimated $150 billion being bet on sports illegally in this country. It's taking place already, as you seem to indicate it with yourself. So I think it's a legitimate argument to let's regulate it, let's allow it, offer some consumer protections, which may interest people, and get some revenue as well, which the state obviously needs.
How much revenue do you project is at stake for the state of Illinois if and when this passes?
Depends on the miles improved. Depends on the tax rate that ultimately would have to pass the General Assembly. But my guess, and what we've heard the experts say, could be anywhere between $50 and $100 million in state revenue. That's just a guesstimate. That sounds like a lot of money, but you know, when we're dealing with an operating budget of $37 billion, $50 to $100 million is a rounding error. It's not going to solve our financial problems. It's not going to solve our budget deficit. It's some needed revenue that we can help maybe pay for some programs or a capital plan, but it's not going to solve our financial issues. But again, it's still additional money, which the state could use.
What do you think that the revenue would go towards, like in terms of programming?
Well, that would have to be determined, any type of legislation. But, you know, obviously we're still facing budget deficits. The state is desperately in need of a capital plan, infrastructure improvements that we haven't had for a number of years, but we have to find a way to pay for it. So could revenue from a gaming expansion bill, sports betting included, could that revenue be used to help pay for bonds for a capital plan?
Senator, we're talking to the chairman of the gaming committee, Steve Stottleman, Illinois State Senator, here on The Score. Is there a rat race element to this? Like, how much urgency is there to be first to market, right? You're in Rockford, that's close to Wisconsin. There's 20, 30 states that are drafting up legislation You know, the people are going to leave at the end of May, right? The session will be over. Like, how much urgency should we expect as constituents from lawmakers to make this bill happen quickly so that you can actually start getting the majority of that revenue?
Well, I've heard two narratives. One, as you mentioned, if other states close by offer this as an entertainment option, we don't want to be behind the curve. We should be able to offer that as well. The other side, though, you want to do it right. We can pass legislation in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, and we're not aware of the ramifications. And that clearly has happened with some of the other gaming expansion laws that have passed. And if you're going to pass something this mammoth, something that is still relatively new in the gaming landscape, let's make sure we do it right. We don't have unintended repercussions, and we get the revenue that we're expecting. So, I mean, those are kind of the two narratives we're dealing with right now. Because the Supreme Court decision came down when it did, this week, most state legislatures have either wrapped up or will be wrapping up soon. So I think the ability of states at this point in time to start passing all these sports betting bills and having approved by, you know, the governors, that's a tall task. So I think, you know, we're going to have some time here over the summer, early in the fall, before we're seeing a lot of states start passing some legislation. So I think we have some time here, but you know, we need to do it right. We need to make sure that what we pass is good for the state.
In terms of unintended consequences, when you are discussing this, workshopping it, talking to people in other states, Vegas, et cetera, what do you see as potential pitfalls that would be, oh, man, those Illinois politicians, they messed this one up? Like, what specifically are you trying to avoid?
Well, I don't know anything specifically. It's just, you know, there can be so many different type of platforms and so many venues, for example, that could offer this. So many ways this is put together as far as a model. It's still, states are still trying to grapple with this issue. What's the best model? And nobody has any clear answers because it's still all relatively new. So I don't make specific examples, but when something's new, you're just not quite aware of what, if you make a decision, what that will look like. As I said, there's so many different ways you could approve a platform. Where do you offer it? What will the bets look like? How much revenue? How do you regulate it? How do you ensure integrity? Should the leagues get a cut of the percentage, for example? There's a lot of issues that still have to be resolved when it comes to trying to pass legislation.
You mentioned the integrity fee. What is your stance on that, which is something that the leagues want?
I think the leagues still need to make their case. Nevada has obviously had sports betting this whole time. They were grandfathered in despite the federal ban, and they have had no integrity fees. Obviously, the leagues are making the push that there should be one, and I think as negotiations and discussions continue, we'll continue to hear what they have to say. I still think they need to make a case that they deserve a piece of the action when it's been taking place without any type of integrity fee in other states.
Yeah, I would editorialize here and say they don't have a case.
Yeah, and you know, their rationale so far has kind of changed. First, it was to ensure the integrity of the game, but it's been taking place in Nevada. Now it's kind of shifting that, you know, because they own intellectual property rights, they deserve a share of the action. I'm not sure that argument is valid as well. And we have fantasy sports, and again, there's been no any type of royalty fee for fantasy sports. So, I obviously we're at the point where we need to have those discussions and see what they bring to the table. If we're going to offer them a piece, what do you give in return? And those types of discussions will be happening. But I think at this point, I still think they need to make their case.
Steve Stottleman, the chairman of the gaming committee for the state of Illinois, Illinois State Senator, with us here on The Score. So you quoted the number of $150 billion gambled illegally. And, you know, those are all estimates, right? I've seen 50, I've seen 100, 150, whatever it is. We know it's a big number and it's disproportionate to illegal sports bets far outweigh legal sports bets, right? If it was a pie, 97% of wagers are illegal, 3% or so are legal.
And 3% may be high. Who knows?
Right. Fast forward me 10 years down the road here. How is that pie split up in your mind between illegal and illegal, or legal and illegal wagering?
I think it depends on the legislation that would pass, and that's, again, why we need to be careful with this. If our, you know, the initial thoughts are, well, let's tax it. Let's tax it as high as possible and get as much revenue for the state as possible. But if you tax it too high, if there are regulations that prevent operators from being successful, you're not going to be able to be competitive with the black market. You got to try to find a way to entice people to go from the illegal market to the regulated market. And if there's much difference in the line, if the books aren't as beneficial or profitable to people, you're not going to have an ability to get people to go into the regulated marketplace. And so that's why these decisions are extremely careful. I don't have a percentage in mind as far as 10 years down the road. I think it's going to be a very slow process. I think people are clearly comfortable with how they're betting right now. And we're going to have to perhaps offer them an incentive to do it in a regulated, safe place. And that's where consumer protections come in, that they can still enjoy that experience, but in a regulated marketplace.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because as someone who's got a really good system for gambling right now, the only way that I would consider leaving that system, Senator, is if it's advantageous to me as a consumer. It's not like I'm being hung up on the morality of the issue right now.
And I think people are very sensitive to any difference in the line. For example, I'm amazed, and I've heard stories. I'm not a sports bettor myself, but if there's even a slight difference in the line, it makes a huge difference where they place that bet.
So huge.
We need to be very sensitive to the marketplace and what it's going to take to attract those who've been doing it illegally for so long.
All right. I like hearing that. A couple more things that I have for you. And again, I really appreciate your time. We're talking to the chairman of the gaming committee for the state of Illinois, Illinois State Senator Steve Stottleman, with us on The Score. Age verification. Is that something that would just be inherent? Is that going to be on the apps? Is there going to be someone standing at the kiosks to check IDs? How would that go so that you can protect underage people from gambling on sports?
Well, again, that will be what we need to determine. In Nevada, I think you need to walk into a casino and physically register in there. Therefore, they can confirm your age. So that's how Nevada does it right now. Who knows whether that'll be the way. I think there are other ways to verify your age as well online, but again, you don't want to make it so restrictive where people maybe physically have to walk into a bricks and mortar facility to verify things, but maybe as part of the opportunity to get something passed legislatively, maybe those are types of restrictions and demands that people will make. So that's not known at this point, but in Nevada right now, people actually have to walk into a casino or an operator of a license.
Do you plan to include in any sort of legislation that would come from this the ability or restriction to gamble on amateur sports? Will people be able to gamble on Northwestern football, Illinois basketball, or is that going to be off the board?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I think Nevada does allow betting on collegiate sports. So there's an assumption, of course, it's up to further negotiation, and there's no specific bill, but, with the March Madness brackets, I mean, people are obviously in the habit of doing that already. So you would anticipate or expect that would be part of the sports betting landscape. I guess the question I would have is, what about the minor leagues, right, where players aren't as paid as much? Are there more minefields ahead if you allow betting on minor league teams? I don't have an immediate answer to those questions, but that's in the area that I think we need to discuss further.
Yeah, well, what I would say is that most people who are shaving points are not looking to do it by gambling legally, right?
right.
Right, like the NBA scandal that happened with the referee back in 2006, like he didn't walk into the win and place those bets. He did it through organized crime contacts that he had. So maybe you've got to put in maximum amounts that can be wagered on amateur athletics or the lower level sports, and cap those a little bit lower. But I wouldn't think you'd be that much more susceptible to corruption at lower levels of athletics.
And the thing is, I think operators will argue that they really are the front line trying to identify the suspicious activity. If the line suddenly changes dramatically, or there's a huge wager made on a minor league team in Toledo, Ohio, for example, right? That's going to draw red flags, and they're in the position to best determine and monitor this type of activity that would spot something really extremely unusual. So I guess I would agree, for the most part, there are ways to identify potential legal activity. And as you say, right now, There's no regulation whatsoever. It's happening. People aren't walking into Nevada-regulated facilities to make these type of wagers, which is, I think, is another reason to argue that they should be moved as much as possible into a regulated marketplace.
A lot of us expected the Supreme Court decision to go the way that it did. Were you surprised?
No, I mean, people were expecting that. I guess what was questioned is how restrictive the ruling would be. I mean, people expected the New Jersey request to be granted, but you know, how sweeping would the Supreme Court decision? Would it allow other states to also implement this type of legislation, or would they have to start their own legal process as well? And I think it was pretty clear from the ruling that it wasn't that restrictive. It pretty much opened the gates for states to do this. So I wasn't surprised by it, but I just was kind of curious as far as what the exact court ruling would entail.
And then last line of questioning, and I really appreciate your candor and your time. What other types of legislation could be passed? Because I read this as this is empowering to the states, right? This was a question about the 10th Amendment, and there are other things that now could be decided, not gambling. And I know you're the chairman of the gaming committee, so you're not necessarily an expert in other fields, but what other types of legislations do you think this ruling from the Supreme Court in Jersey now opens for states to advocate for states' rights on the behalf of?
Well, I think the ruling is clear. I mean, states' rights was the important issue. It trumped the federal oversight, and you know, whether it was the ability of a state to offer sports betting or implement other types of legislation, the Supreme Court pretty much said, yes, we agree, this is a state's rights issue. The federal government can't tell a state what to do or not do outside any criminal activity, right? So I think it just confirms the type of system we have, and states really are the drivers when it comes to legislation.
So I guess I'll ask it more directly for another issue near and dear to my heart. Was this a good day for the eventual legalization of marijuana?
Yeah, I think you could make that. You make that argument. Obviously, marijuana is a different situation because if there's criminal legislation, or I'm not an attorney, so forgive me here if I'm not speaking correctly, but you know, the federal government still have jurisdiction if there's criminal activity. So if somebody determined that this is criminal activity, I guess for theoretical purposes, you can make the argument the federal government should have a jurisdiction over this issue. But obviously, a lot of states are decriminalizing marijuana, right?
Exactly.
And making it recreational. So that maybe would take that argument away. But I think that's more of a difficult argument because up until now, even marijuana has been considered, or the use or the sale of it has been this considered a criminal nature. So that changes the dynamics of what this type of ruling may have for further ramifications.
Hey, I'm just looking for the things that I do that are illegal to become legal, Senator. That's pretty much my end game here. But
no, I don't think it's that far along that you could see sports betting and you know, legalization of marijuana in the near future. I mean, who would have thought that 10 years ago? But times change, people's attitudes change.
Amen. Steve Stottleman, the Illinois State Senator, who is the chairman of the Gaming Committee. We appreciate your time and your candor. And if we have any more questions, we'll get back in touch. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. That is Steve Stottleman from Rockford, 34th District in the great state of Illinois. We will have Dan Carcillo in studio coming up at 4. But I want to do this. 312-644-6767. This is new. You got any questions? No question will be considered a dumb question here when it comes to the legalization of sports gambling. 312-644-6767, text line 67011. Ask me your questions about where I think this is going, gambling, a point spread, how it'll be implemented, point shaving, anything like that. 312-644-6767. Let's learn about this together, and we'll talk to Dan Carcillo coming up at 4 on the score. No. This is a day for education. I don't want to be exclusive on the show. I really don't think we're going to end up talking a bunch more gambling than we already did, but I legitimately do believe that the industry is going to grow and that it's a marketplace. So even if you never intend to gamble ever, it's worth it to at least understand the basics. Spreads, money lines, parlays, the terminology, what the impact of this is going to be. Really appreciate the senator for joining us. You got a shot at $1,000 coming up within the next 10 minutes. This segment brought to you by Burlington. Refresh your spring closet for less at your Burlington store. What's hot? Stripes, dots, and gingham, plus cool hardware like pearls, sequins, grommets, and much more. Burlington style for everyone. So let's just do this rapid fire. I'll answer the questions as quickly and honestly as I can between now and 4 o'clock. Dan Carcillo, former Hawk, is doing incredible things for concussion awareness, and he's got some strong thoughts on what the NHL is not doing. He'll join us in studio coming up at 4 o'clock. Dan in Hammond has the top question that I'm mad at myself for not asking the senator, but I do have an opinion that I can glean from his answer. So go ahead, Dan, and ask the question.
Yeah, I was wondering what this has to do with online poker, like Poker Stars. I miss playing that.
Yeah, I miss it too, Dan. Black Friday was a very sad day in 2011. If you don't know what Black Friday is in the poker community, it's when the government freezed all of the online poker assets in this country. It was a dark day for a lot of people. Millions and millions and millions of dollars vanished. The initial legal analysis of this doesn't sound like it's going to be great for online poker. Some states, online poker is slowly coming back, and I do believe that it will come back. It's legal in Nevada, Delaware, Jersey, and Pennsylvania. From talking to the senator, it sounds like they're going to be kind of piecemealing this together, and they want to get it passed, and then it might incrementally roll out from there. Some states might try to have a more aggressive legislative path if they don't feel like they're going to get much opposition, which it sounds like we're going to get some here in Illinois, to encompass poker and sports gambling. But poker is not a big moneymaker for casinos, right? So because if you play, let's say we play a hand of poker and the pot is $1,000. Poker is a skill game. Me against Shep, against Shane, against Z-Pack, against Mac, right? You're playing against people. You're not playing against the house. So if we play in a pot that's $1,000, the rake that the house takes at a casino in Hammond, Indiana, is capped at like $4 or $5. And that rake is the same if it's a $30 hand or a $1,000 hand. Whereas on a sports wager, if I make a $30 sports bet, the VIG, bet 33 to win 30, 10%, right? It's 10%. So if you bet if you want to win $3,000, you got to bet $3,300. So it's 10% regardless of the price. Does that make sense? So a $1,000 hand to poker and a $50 hand to poker at a casino, the casino gets the same amount of money. For a sports bet, you bet $1,000 on sports, you bet $50 on sports, the casino gets a much bigger amount of money for a sports bet than poker. So states are not as inclined or incentivized to legalize online poker as they are sports gambling, because the cut that they get isn't nearly as much, because you're playing against the house for gambling on sports, you're playing against people when you gamble on poker. Dexter says, what does it mean when someone says the VIG? The VIG is the cut, the rake, the percentage that you are offering the house. Bet $110 to win $100. Your VIG there is 10%, which is standard. Kevin in Naperville, there are no dumb questions. Ask me a question about gambling.
My question is with each state kind of being their own system and kind of doing it their way, who's going to set the line? Is that going to be state-specific, or are they going to use a universal system? How is the line going to get set for state gambling?
It's not terrible. Thank you for the question, Kevin. And that's Shane Reardon with these drops. I'm trying to be inclusive here, Shane. You're a saboteur of the inclusive segment.
I'm trying to add content. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing a great job. Hashtag content. My favorite Twitter background, by the way, on the entire website is yours, of being blocked by Mitch Rosen. Just spectacular content. The states will not set the lines themselves. There will be an overarching, maybe it'll be William Hill or someone like that. They don't need to get into the business of that. But the lines in general, people say, oh, the house sets the line. Yeah, they set the opening line, but then it's sharp bettors that truly set the line, right? So if tonight Cavs and Celtics is a pick 'em, which means there is no spread, but 70% of the money immediately came in on the Cavs, the house might be incentivized to make it Cavs minus one, Cavs minus 1.5, because ideally the house is going to set a line that gets an equal amount of action on both sides, so that that aforementioned vig, that 10%, the rake, they get it from both sides, right? You bet $110 to win 100 on the Cavs. That's what I bet. Shane bets $110 to win 100 on the Celtics. Regardless of who wins, the house gets our $10. 312-644-6767. On the north side, Jeff is on the score.
Hey, what's up, Danny? Hey, I guess my question is, you know, with everybody wanting their cut, meaning the league, the state, you know, is it, if, I mean, I'm happy just with the way things are, right? Doing things with an offshore book, and I've never had trouble getting a payout. I mean, how is it going to cost more to make a legal wager than it is to make an illegal wager?
No, listen, that is what the senator was talking about, and that's what they have to make sure that it's not, right? Because, Jeff, if you're a good gambler, you'll line shop a little bit, and you've got an ability to place a bet with a bookmaker, with Bovada, maybe with Five Dimes, whatever. And then if you add a casino into it, like, maybe that's the best place for you to make a legal bet. But that's why I think that in 10 years, if right now 98% of the bets are made illegally and 2% are made legally, my guess is it's 80-20 illegal to legal, because there's going to be some cost still that goes into it. Like, more people will bet legally, no question, but the deal that a lot of us have betting illegal is so awesome, right? Say I make a big win, my bookie's not making me fill out a tax form. But if you have a big win and you bet legally, you got to fill out taxes. Now, maybe they would punish it in such a way that that wouldn't be possible anymore. Maybe a site like Bovada that's operating offshore would get shut down in America like the online poker sites did. Like, maybe it would get to that point. But that's why I was happy to hear the senator say that they're very cognizant of the fact that even if a line is slightly off, or if the juice is slightly off compared to other places.
Hey, I ran into O.J. Simpson the other night. How about that?
How about that, Brent? You've got to do a good job of making sure that the same bet that I can get at Bovada or for my bookie is what I could get at the kiosk at Wrigley Field. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is laundry. Text laundry to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is laundry to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Texter writes in, why has betting on horses been legal this whole time? Because we are a country of hypocrites. Dan Carcillo in studio in 15 minutes. We'll blow through some more of your questions coming up next on The Score. Dan Carcillo, two-time Cup champion with the Blackhawks, has a hell of a story to tell. He's going to tell it to us coming up in studio in 10 minutes. Answering some of your questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question as we try to make the gambling conversation more inclusive. And good conversation with the state senator, who's the chairman of the gaming committee, who was on at the beginning of the hour. A lot of your questions were answered there as to what it'll look like in Illinois if and when it passes. He thinks within a year, estimated the revenue for the state between $50 and $100 million annually. Texter writes in, Danny, will there be parlays or just bet straight up on games? No, my guess is that they will set up a sports book. Parlays, money lines, over-unders, spreads, teasers, all sorts of stuff. My guess is that they will try to mimic the Vegas sports gambling experience there. Prop bets, my guess is some of the player props and stuff like that will still be reserved for the online offshore sportsbook communities. But if you can bet it in a Vegas casino, my guess is you'll be able to bet it online at the kiosks, at the horse tracks, etc. Texters are writing in, does this mean that Pete Rose will have his ban lifted? No. I've seen a lot of people say that. Pete Rose was betting on the sport that he played. you know what I mean? Like, alcohol is legal, but there are still ways that you can't drink alcohol, right? You can't buy alcohol if you're under 21. You can't drink and drive. Like, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's legal in every situation. So just if sports gambling becomes legal, it's like when we asked Albert Almora about it earlier. He's like, man, it doesn't really matter to me. I know we're not allowed to bet on baseball. Exactly. Like, that's how it works. So Pete Rose still broke a rule of the sport, even if it wasn't against the law. I mean, it was against the law when he was betting offshore, but he did plenty of his bets legally. It was against the rules of baseball. 312-644-6767. John and Bradley's on the score. John, what's your question?
Hey, what's to prevent? I know the league wants this 1% whatever integrity money. What's to stop the states from just saying, how about no? What are you going to do? Take it off the air? Like, how are you going to stop us from gambling?
that is a good question. It's a negotiation, right? Like, you've got to, like, the states have to offer up a line, and if they want to be able to fully access it, they want to be able to put a kiosk at Wrigley Field to use the logo for the teams on their sites. Like, it's much better for everybody involved if there is symmetry between the entities, right? Between who is taking the bets, the people placing the bets, and the organization that is being bet on. Like, they want it to be above board. Regulation is what it sounds like, right? The government's involved, the teams are involved, the players' union's involved. So my guess is the leagues will not win there, but it's like if I go into a contract negotiation with the score, they come in with a low number, I go in with a high number, and hopefully we meet with a middle number, right? So like the league coming in with this 1% integrity fee is ridiculous. They won't get it. They shouldn't get it. But if they negotiate that down from 1% to zero, but they get other concessions in other places, it's a bargaining chip. Like, right, you heard the senator say this is a negotiation. Some people have been asking questions about if you'll be able to bet online. Like, if you're in Indiana but you want to bet on the Bears and it's illegal in Illinois, we'll be able to place the bet. No, that's how they block people for online gambling right now. That's how they block online poker. If you've got IP addresses in Illinois right now, you will have to have an IP address from the state, and you'll have to have your banking information from the state. So if it's illegal in Wisconsin and Illinois, but it's legal in Indiana, you'd have to be in Indiana to place the bet online, or vice versa as it goes. Let's see here. Quickly, Andy in Naperville, what's your question?
So my question is, with businesses now adding slot machines, could the same or similar businesses start taking sports bets? To that I mean, how convenient or local would it be for someone outside of their own computer to be able to walk into a place to place a sports bet? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and that's part of this. That's part of the question, right? Like, Arlington wants in. The casinos want in. The OTBs will want in. Like, everyone's going to want in on this if and when it becomes legal, because it's revenue and it's foot traffic. Like, let's say the first step is brick-and-mortar establishments, and 2 years down the road, they'll launch their Illinois gambling app so that you can do it on your phone. Well, for those 2 years, it's a huge advantage to be one of those brick-and-mortar establishments. So there's going to be all sorts of places that will want this. I mean, Arlington, they want a casino. They want you to be able to go to the horse track, play slots, play craps, gamble on sports. They want it all, and they should. It's a gambling establishment. I would think that OTBs will then just start having sports books. Like, that's going to be that cross-pollination and stuff. I think it should be wherever you buy a lottery ticket. If you want to place a sports wager, you should be able to do it. Like, why not? It's all gambling. Coming up next, Dan Carcillo, two-time Stanley Cup champion. He is donating his brain to CTE research, and he does not think the NHL is doing a good enough job protecting its former players with concussion issues. He will join me in studio to tell his story next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.